How Stock Productions presents The Three Rivers Academy, a MetaHumans Rising actual play. Featuring Ariana Corazon de Sousa, a brash Brazilian heiress and perfect body, played by Archie. Steve Reflection Moore, a young shapeshifter who has lost his home due to his powers, and played by Julian. Mina Sherdell, a young girl adjusting to the snakes that have begun to replace her hair, played by Krista. Soren Quick Steel Stahl, inheritor of the legendary blade Tearfang and the curse that follows it, played by Mike. Welcome to Three Rivers.
Welcome, everybody, to the Three Rivers Academy. During the orientation, or on the orientation day, you were still dealing with the aftermath of the hurricane. Mina went to check on the woman who was in the Jeep. Realizing that she was bruised, she brought her back to the boys' dorms because it was closer and it was outside of the yellow. While she was doing that, Steve took Thomas to the infirmary. There was a bit of confusion with the nurse until he said, no, call me Reflection. Ariana kind of sort of checked on the other guys in the boys' dorm, at least until enough of them were there that she could say, okay, you people do this on your own, and absolve herself of any responsibility.
What, if the little boys can't handle a simple task like that, then, you know, what are they there for?
Shortly afterwards, Steve returned with a few paramedics, and they took the woman away. About that time, it became obvious that this was not just a teacher, but Dr. Aldridge, the science and mathematics teacher. When Mr. MacArthur returned, he had a procession of new students who had been rescued from the van that nearly washed out during the hurricane. He asked Soren to sort out the boys and Ariana to sort out the girls. This is when we find out who has a new roomie. It turned out that all of Ariana's roommates from last year have requested new room assignments.
No surprise.
And that Mina and Ariana were new roommates.
Oh my god!
I almost pity Ariana for once.
During the orientation, most of the teachers introduced themselves. There was a few that couldn't be there. Dr. Aldridge was still in the infirmary. You know, one does not usually show up to a meeting after a concussion. Then there was a faculty meet and greet where people could sign up for electives and talk to the instructors about the various classes. Once that wrapped up, the group met with Mr. MacArthur in the greenhouse. He asked the four of you to keep an eye out for anything weird. Around that point, Professor White opened the greenhouse door, looked around. I think she might have waved, and then left.
It was either a wave or a smile. I do have one thing I'd like to add to the recap. In between Steve getting the paramedics and Mina bringing in Dr. Aldridge, Soren did perform a small bit of magic on her to heal her.
Yes.
That's likely to come up later in the episode.
It's actually an important thing to remind that you bring that up, because you and Mina were both a bit surprised that she was still in the infirmary, because when Mina looked at her, she looked like she had some bruising and maybe a minor concussion, and then you actually used a healing rune on her.
And I think before we ended, I went to MacArthur and offered to go and perform a second healing on her if she still needed it.
You did. And I'm going to have you make a wisdom roll.
That's actually something I'm vaguely good at. Just wisdom by itself?
Yep, wisdom and two dice, unless you have medicine.
I do not. 16. No six.
MacArthur said something that you didn't catch it right away, but as you're making it back towards the main building, it hits you. He said she had a broken collarbone. The reason why this strikes you as being funny, didn't have a broken collarbone. The four of you were probably about halfway across the campus when this finally dawns on you that he said this.
Is MacArthur still in the greenhouse?
Yeah, he's in the greenhouse.
I'm going to turn around and make my way back to MacArthur.
So he is tending to the plants?
Mr. MacArthur, I have a question for you.
He looks up. He says, how can I help you?
When did Dr. Aldridge break her collarbone? Because when I performed my rune on her, her collarbone wasn't broken.
I don't know. I had just assumed it happened in the accident. I never really saw her.
She wasn't that badly banged up when Mina brought her in.
He crops a plotted plant and starts running towards the building.
I will run after him.
So how is everyone else reacting to this?
Okay, and we can see these guys beating feet for the main building, right?
Yeah, so Soren's like, hey, 1 second. Turns back around, goes into the greenhouse. A few seconds later, MacArthur comes sprinting out of there. And Soren is trying to keep up. I follow him.
I'm actually fairly quick.
Okay, well, I'll run after him, too. Since the guy wants to keep an eye out for something weird, just is running.
I don't think I'm as fast as Steve, because I'm pretty sure Steve built the run.
And I don't think I'm very fast at all, so I'm at the back of the line.
And Ariana would be more like, me run in my nice 3-inch heels? I think not.
3-inch heels? Were you a grandma?
Steve is kind of hard-pressed to keep up with MacArthur. Soren kind of falls behind them, and then Mina behind them, and then Ariana's just walking.
Fucker's fast.
He's the PE coach. I should qualify the PE coach who's in shape. Not the PE coach that's carrying around a keg in his stomach.
Well, no, it's just this is Soren's view of. I've been running for a lot, and I thought I was actually pretty quick, but son of a bitch, they're both faster than me.
It doesn't seem like he's trying to like show off or anything. He's just concerned. When he realizes that you guys are with him, he kind of slows to a jog and composes himself. He's like visibly shaken, but he's trying to keep on his best game face.
If he's going to slow down to any length, I'm going to run past him and just keep going to the medical area.
When you get to, we were calling it the nurse's station, but it's really more of a medical bay. I believe I described it as you have the one common room, and then there's a ring around that where you have breakout rooms. Those breakout rooms, some are storage, but like the cafeteria is a breakout room. There's a room off the side of this main common that's big enough for like 500 people. The nurse's station, if we use that term again, the main room is probably 15 or 20 square feet with a little waiting area and a bench, but then there's like two doors on either side, so there's clearly more to this room or to this nurse's station. And he had called it a medical bay earlier. When you get there, there's no one in the main room, so Soren, you kind of get there a few seconds before everybody else. What are you doing?
There's nobody here.
There's no one in the main room, but there's two doors.
Take a minute, close my eyes, and listen. Because I have pretty good senses. And see if anything sounds weird before I go rushing to the doors.
So go ahead and give me a perception roll.
26.
That is a good roll. You do have some finely tuned senses, but they're not superhuman, and you're not picking up anything. Like, you're not hearing anything from behind either door. You're just, because you're kind of just standing in the middle of the room behind the barrier, and you can't really hear anything else from there.
I'll make my way to whichever door is closest to me and see if it's locked.
Okay. Yeah, it requires, like, there's like a scanner on the side, and you remember the biometrics of the boys' door.
Times like these, I wish I had my sword. Oh, I'll try and see if it'll let me in.
It's locked.
Will the biometrics let me in?
Yeah, when you like rub your thumb across it, it doesn't unlock.
The other door is the same?
Yeah.
If I put my ear up to either one, can I hear anything?
Sure. Go ahead and make a second roll.
That's a 31 with 1-6.
So when you put your ear up to the far door, you can hear a muffled conversation, but it's like clearly heated. It sounds like there's some instructions being barked, and that's the only reason why you're picking up on it.
I've been around this place long enough that I might have a good idea about the shape of these buildings.
Yeah.
Are there any other exits from the room I'm standing in front of?
No, just the one door back into the main corridor. You haven't really been through the medical bay. You're presuming that there's actually a door because there's several fire doors on the far side of the building, and you would assume that the medical bay would have one. Or at least one.
I'm going to keep my ear to the door in case whoever's on the other side decides to leave while I wait for everyone else to get here, because without my sword, I have no real way of getting through this door.
It takes about a minute for everyone to catch up, and you're still kind of plastered against the door. MacArthur kind of comes past you, and he runs his thumb across the pad. The door pops open, and he says, be calm. Let's see what's happening. It almost sounds like he's saying it as much to himself as he is to you.
I will whisper to him, I heard barked orders.
He kind of nods.
I'll let him take the lead.
There's a short hall, and there's rooms behind that first nurses' station. And he kind of goes to the second room where he can look in. Through the window, you can see Dr. Aldrich, and it looks like they've intubated her. And she's got two IV bags hanging, and there's three people in the room, and one of them is barking orders.
Looking at her from here, does it look like she's in worse condition than when I left her? Is it, like, clearly visible?
She's intubated, so, yeah. She was just a little beat up before. Now she's on life support.
No, I mean, like, are the wounds visible on her?
She's got these purple bruises running up her arms. You can't really see more than that. Well, you can see it on her feet and lower part of her legs also, because that's also exposed. This is more than just the bruises have risen to the skin, because why would her feet be bruised like that?
I'll take a moment to look at MacArthur and say, she looks worse than when I healed her.
It says, Dr. Adams is a skilled physician.
It literally looks like I healed her and then somebody beat the shit out of her. I have a pretty good idea what it looks like when somebody gets the shit beat out of them. I spent a week having it done.
He kind of looks at you and he says, do you really think your magic can fix this?
Multiple uses of it, yes. But it would take time. Remember that giant pool of blood I was sitting in? That came from me stabbing myself with a sword.
He will thumb the door. He says, Dr. Adams, I think this student can help. And he looks up and says, she's been seizing for the last hour. Something's gone wrong. Her metabolism, she should be fine. And she's just getting worse.
Make my way into the room if they'll let me.
He doesn't seem to be arguing. Like, he said that after MacArthur said, I think this kid can help.
I'm going to burn some willpower. As he reaches into his coat, pulls out a book, one of his father's journals, flips to a particular page that talks about a particular rune, and he will then draw that rune onto his own forehead.
And what is this rune you're drawing on your forehead?
The Ansus rune. It looks kind of like an F, but instead of the lines being straight, they're actually angled downwards. And it's a rune to give insight, communication, and inspiration, true vision, all those fun things as I spend willpower to give myself a new sense. That new sense being to diagnose whatever's going wrong with her biology.
So, like, the house MD sense?
I don't think I got enough will for that powerful a sense. This is like a biological sense to so I can read what's going on with her.
When Ariana finally decides to get there, she just looks at what he's doing and says, and she just says a comment about brujería, meaning witchcraft for anybody else.
Well, I'd argue, but he did just draw a rune on his forehead, so.
So go ahead and make your roll. That's your sense plus your power.
27 with 1-6.
You draw this rune on your forehead, and you look at her, and without thinking about it, you jerk the heart monitor off of her hand because you don't know what it is, but something connected to that machine was causing the problem.
I will hold it up and offer it to MacArthur and no one else. I'm not going to let the doctors grab it. I'm going to try and give it to MacArthur and inform him. This machine is what's trying to kill her, apparently.
Well, the doctor's been on board the whole time. Here's where he goes, that's preposterous.
Then I would advise you to find whoever's in charge of technology around here and figure out why this machine is fucking up her biology.
Ariana just thinking to herself how vulgar this person is.
As you say that, it doesn't feel right to you. Like, the rune is fading, and you can't place it, but it's not the machine itself, and you know that. Even as you say that, you can see the bruises on her body start to fade.
What's the machine? I'm going to follow the machine to see what it's connecting to.
Just a wall socket.
Is anything else plugged into this particular wall socket?
Yeah, the bed. It's a hospital bed, so it's got the controls on it.
I'll be a little paranoid and unplug the bed, too. It's not a hover bed, right? It's actually on the ground before I unplug it. Because I know they had those hover skiffs, and I know how big a dick you are.
I'm not that big of a dick.
So as long as it's not a hover bed, I'll unplug the bed as well. just to be on the safe side.
When you do that, she gasps for air and just starts pulling the hose out of her throat.
A miraculous recovery. I'm just waiting for the point where the doctor or one of the other two people decides to start attacking somebody, because I'm pretty sure they're the bad guys here. I trust nobody. I don't have trust issues.
Well, in preparation for that, I'm going to pull my hood off.
You don't know that he has trust issues.
No, the fact that he unplugs it and I hear her gasping for breath and she comes back too, I'm going to pull my hood off now and fly to her side and check on her. Like a nice person, like a good neighbor.
She just seems very much beat up. She says, hospital bed? I can understand. I didn't expect the Greek afterlife.
Didn't expect the what?
The Greek afterlife? Scowl.
And then she sees MacArthur, and she's like, oh, Paul, all right, so not dead. And then she flumps back on the pillow.
At this point, I'd like to look at MacArthur and go, so is this the kind of weird stuff you wanted us to keep an eye open for?
Sorry, but Ariana's going to have to chuckle at that also.
He looks over at you with a very serious face and says, yes.
Ariana, go ahead and say, this is very much like your X-Files show.
What's the doctor doing?
The doctor is examining her.
But he doesn't seem suspicious or anything?
No, he seems concerned about his patient.
What are the other two people in the room doing?
The nurses? Giving the doctor room.
I'm going to keep my eye on them. I don't have trust issues. Stop questioning me.
Okay. You want to make a subterfuge roll?
I don't have subterfuge roll. I'm just going to watch them.
And since there's no battle happening, I'm putting that hood back on.
I so currently
it's not like you're trying to be covert about it. You want to be overt unless you're like, I'm oddly looking at them, see if they're going to try some shit.
Right. If you asked him, he would straight up tell you right now he does not trust any of the three people who are in here with the doctor as she was slowly dying from whatever the hell these machines were doing to her.
Well, you may be giving them crazy eyes. They seem far more concerned with Dr. Aldridge's well-being. And then after a few minutes, the doctor says, let's move her to the waiting room.
Is she able to, like, get up and walk on her own? Is she, like, recovering?
And he says, no, we're going to move you using a gurney. I just want to get you away from this equipment.
Good call. I'm starting to like this doctor.
It takes him a while, but the doctor actually insists on using a traditional collapsible gurney.
Good man, good man.
And when they set her up, they don't use any IVs or connect anything to her. He rattles off a couple of people's names and asks one of the nurses to set up a monitoring watch.
I have a question for Mina. Who did you give her to? You gave her to somebody to take to the medical wing.
Steve brought paramedics. They took her.
Yeah. There were two paramedics with someone. Who were they with?
It was just the two paramedics.
Oh.
They were Steve? They were with
you. Oh. How the fuck does that work?
Well, Steve would be them, if that was the case.
All are. Who would have thought Steve is Legion?
No, that's more headache than he really needs right now.
Oh, it's bad enough for your other people to be multiple other people?
Yeah. Thank you, but no thanks.
They were there for a reason. I can't remember the reason they were there.
They were there for her.
Right. Who called them?
Steve was at the medical station and brought them back with him because they wanted to find the doctor. But here's my question. Where are the people who brought her there? Because I want to know when she got so badly damaged. Was it after she got put onto the bed and all the equipment plugged into her? Because that doesn't make any sense.
Are you asking that, or are you just saying that out of character?
No, I'm saying that out loud. I'd like to talk to the people who brought her in, and I'd like to know why she was put into the bed. Because when I healed her, she wasn't that badly injured, and she would not have needed any of this she should not have needed any of this equipment.
Did the school just have EMTs on standby?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So what had to have happened here is somewhere between her leaving Mina and getting to the medical place, either she got the shit kicked out of her so that she was injured enough to be put into these beds, which was then trying to kill her, or she was put into the bed and the bed put her into that condition. But why was she put into the bed if she wasn't already in that condition?
Well, the doctor kind of nods. He says, I can see how you would come to that conclusion. But other than a few minor fractures, she was mostly all right when she got here. She's been getting steadily worse.
Okay, since there doesn't seem to be a crisis here at the moment, Steve fades out.
Okay.
Ariana's going to hang around because she's never actually seen a real brujo before.
A real what?
Witch.
Which?
Ruha. I didn't hear the word.
No, well, he, well, Sorn is male. And according to the usage of it, you, it's Bruja for males.
After a few minutes, the doctor actually shoos everyone who's not medical staff out. And he does thank Sorin, but he's like, we've got it from here.
If her injuries don't heal fast enough, call me. I can still heal her. But she appears to have some sort of regenerative ability of her own.
Pestis says, well, you know me, I'm just going to quick at things.
What?
Dr. Aldridge says, well, you know me, I'm just going to quick at things. And she smiles and then flumps back on her pillow.
No, Soren's going to say, wait, what? Because he didn't understand anything she just said.
Exactly.
Talk too fast.
That's the Dr. Aldridge you know.
Feel better, Dr. Aldridge. Hi.
So let's put it this way. Steve doesn't want to race her. He'd lose.
You certainly don't want to try and outthink her.
Oh, hell no.
You should see her play chess.
I suck at that.
I have a sword to go get because things are not right in Denmark.
Well, you really only leave it there during class.
Right, but I couldn't have it with orientation,
right?
And I couldn't have it in the greenhouse, and then we ran from the greenhouse here, so he immediately wants to go get a sword.
What I'm saying is the school day is over, now it makes sense to go pick it up.
So, school is over. What do you do for fun? This is Ariana asking. Everybody who's still left there after we start leaving.
Hey, we can go into the city.
Good luck getting there.
I got snakes, they can travel. We'll just help them
Are there no taxis that run here?
Someone will just smile and say, good luck getting there.
25 miles, and no, cabs do not come to the secret location of the school.
That's not very far, 25 miles.
Just take a couple hours to walk there.
Well, that's right, I can use my snakes, and then we can walk the rest of the way. I can use them for me. It's for you guys. No, I'm sorry.
Well, since I have Joe Normal running.
Does the school not have some sort of a shuttle bus?
On the weekends.
What day is that?
Monday.
Damn it! Ariana!
What?
You don't have a license.
I never needed a license before.
Now, here's the funny thing. Ariana has a car. She can't drive it.
Do I have a license?
No, you're 14.
Damn it! Darn it! Does Steve have a license? Isn't he the oldest of us?
Steve wasn't sure that he was actually an American until he was sent here.
All eyes on Soren.
I'm sorry, Soren. Soren, I take it back. Does Steve have a license?
Isn't he the oldest?
I don't believe so.
Nope.
I grew up traveling around the Nordic countries. I don't spend much time in America until recently.
I've only been in America for 1 year.
Am I really the only one
He has a false ID, so he might have a driver's license.
That's illegal.
He's the only one who can buy booze.
False identification.
He doesn't have a driver's license. However, the fake ID that I have, or... Steve does.
Steve Moore might not be able, might not have a license. Jones does.
You have false papers?
Is that so surprising?
I've never had need for papers.
Then don't worry about it.
I slumped back to my room because apparently we're not going anywhere.
Well, I could offer everybody some coffee, but I don't know. The rules don't generally permit men in the boys in the girls' dorm and vice versa.
I can't drink coffee. It does crazy things to my hair.
That's sounds like good. A public service announcement, really.
I think it was.
I shall remember not to offer you a beverage next time you're in my room.
We're roommates.
Yes. I will especially be careful about any caffeinated beverages.
I'm off to go lurk in the woods for a little while.
The desert?
That's great.
Yeah. Yes, the desert. Well, first I have to go to the science room and get my sword.
Look on my
I do have a daily ritual I do like to perform.
You can help me. You can. Part of your ritual can be helping me decorate.
You know what? I think I will attend my daily ritual today. Now, excuse me. It's time for me to learn how to fly.
Good luck with that.
Well, I'll get better at it, I'm sure. I've been practicing for a year. I'm sure the crater's not getting too large.
Maybe I'll watch her do that from the room.
So how does this go down again? How does her flying lessons go?
Well, she usually tries to jump off of this mesa that's only about, you figure, about 40 to 50 feet tall. You figure Ariana can handle a fall of that distance. At least I'm assuming.
And once again, Soren's reminded that the next time he goes into town, he needs to get some R. Kelly and a boombox.
Soren don't know who R. Kelly is.
Yeah, what year is this?
2010.
Yeah, no way that a 14 or 15-year-old would really remember 16, R. Kelly.
Thank you.
No, she just listens to the one song of R. Kelly's. Everything else of hers is Brazilian or other Levites Hispanic, except for some German techno.
Some trans works?
Yeah, and that's how she knows her German. Well, that's the other reason why she's been able to apply her German.
Soren's off to go practice his magic in somewhere out of the way.
All right. All right.
I got to change it to my costume.
He's got a new rune to study.
You've actually got a costume?
I have the red costume because my normal shoes can't handle the stress I put into it when I do my leaping.
So Ariana and Mina go back to their room, and then do you see her put on the costume? Like, well, she probably goes in her bedroom, but are you like in the living room when she comes out wearing the costume?
Yes.
So what's the costume look like?
It is red and yellow, kind of reminiscent of the X-Men Generation X uniform. It is a full red and yellow bodysuit with a red belt and yellow metallic braces on her left and right arms and large metal, somewhat metallicized boots that go up to her knees.
Okay.
And apparently they look like they're fortified to handle large numbers of stress. Her hair is brought back in is just laying loose at her back with a simple domino-like, almost domino-like mask going across her eyes.
Ooh, that's tight.
Well, I'm told that you wish it to be tight for aerodynamic purposes.
Wow. Good luck, Lady Flash.
Lady Flash? Oh, I see. Okay. Well, thank you. Did you want to wish me luck?
Of course. That way, if you fly, if you can fly, you won't even need a license.
Before going off to do my magics,
uh-huh,
I'll make sure to mention to a couple of students I pass by that the daily crater is about to occur, and they might want to get in position to watch.
Oh, Lord.
Spread the word. I imagine it's a school event by now.
Yes, probably. There's probably a good, like, 20 kids that gather around to see this.
See what?
Ariana's daily ritual.
Yeah. Or so, as someone refers to it, the daily crater.
Go ahead and break it down for us. What is she doing?
What she's going to end up doing is just she will go ahead and attempt to run off the little plateau that they're on, trying to see how far she can actually fly into the air. And then, as it has been typically in these last few, she will end up unerringly falling back down, hitting the ground.
So she comes out of the girls' dorm, sprinting full tilt towards the edge of the plateau?
Yeah.
Jumps.
With R. Kelly playing in the background, because she has a little music player that she puts there.
So she actually like puts down like a boombox?
Yeah, she has a little amplified speakers for her little Apple device. And at that, in that particular line, if I can see it, then I can be it. And if I believe it, there's nothing to it. And she steps off, and she's going higher and higher, and then she just looks down as she's starting to go lower and lower and lower and lower as gravity pulls her down. Crater with the big dust cloud.
And you know it hurts. It is not pleasant.
I just want you to know that fairly certain.
Oh.
That's exactly what we hear.
I want to lean out the window and say, you got some good air.
There's actually a couple of people, the spectators, that are screaming things like that. Nice angle. You should try swinging your arms.
You know, as soon as she falls, it's the goofy yell all the way down.
So mean. So rude.
I'm sure somebody's playing in the background while she's falling.
So is Steve doing anything in the evening?
You know, he's probably went to a track to go running.
So you head back over to Metis, where the gym is, and there's track around it.
Okay.
Oh, the only other thing I would do is to note the distance and put it up on my chart when I finally can't climb back up the mesa.
Okay.
I imagine there's just like a series of rulers going from the mesa outwards to how far her hands were when she landed to make the newest crater as she just inches along. As she gets farther and farther out.
I can actually picture her kind of digging her fingers in to make a marker for it. Maybe she has like some dowel rods tucked into her belt.
I made it an extra 6 inches today. Nice. Progress.
Yeah, the last 2 days have been more social contact than Steve usually ever has.
Thankfully, the gym is pretty much empty and no one really bothers you while you're running. So you're kind of able to center yourself.
Cool. That works.
Classes start at 7:30 a.m. every morning.
So Ariana's up at 6. She got to have her morning coffee with her breakfast.
The first class of every morning is actually the control class, which is there to help people maintain their powers. Talk about coping skills and things like that so they don't lose control of their powers depending on the nature of their abilities.
Okay, first thing Steve does when he goes to the classroom is sit in the corner.
This is actually isn't in a classroom. This is in front of the main buildings, and you guys are kind of split out. So, like, from your peripheral, you can see another group of about 15 kids, but each of the instructors has their different way of handling the class.
Joy. Well, he still tries to stay out of arm's reach of everybody else.
That is very easy to do in this situation, especially since the word's kind of getting around about you, and there's actually a couple of kids like... Moondog is there wearing a pair of jeans and a white t-shirt. He's kind of got this ratty denim jacket. He is holding a shovel.
A shovel?
That bodes well.
Is anybody close to where he's standing? Mina, you can clearly smell the familiar, or maybe not so familiar, but the smell of dog stuffs.
Nope. I'm not close enough.
I'm going to be interested.
Ariana's not exactly one that would sit in the front of the class in her own little area.
I have finely tuned senses, so it doesn't probably matter where I stand.
Yes, you can pick up the whiff of him having just used that shovel to clean some of the pens.
Cool.
And he says, all right, I know this is your first day for a lot of you, and this is a little bit different than most of your classes. This is probably the only class you'll ever have like this. But it is something that will help you once you leave here. It's important that you maintain control of your powers.
Oh, I pull my hoodie up a little further on my head to make sure I'm covered insecurely.
Someone will just sigh.
Well, you know what? Considering how much of a pest she's been at me this morning, I'm going to go ahead and pull her hoodie back. So what's wrong?
I'm going to snatch it back up really quickly and kind of quiver my lip a bit and say, don't do that. I don't want to scare anybody.
Oh, everybody's entitled to a bad hair day.
And I whimper and kind of look down a bit.
He says, all right, everybody settle down. We're going to do some simple concentration exercises. Now I want everybody to close their eyes. One of these students pipes up. He says, Mr. Moondog, I've been practicing all summer. I got this down. Look at this kind of control. And he turns and...
I can already tell this is going to end badly.
Yeah, I have you and me both.
What's your surprise defense sword?
It's 14.
All right. So this kid turns and he like waves his hand down and you are pantsed. What color are your underwear?
We'll go with plaid boxers.
How long does it take you to realize that your pants are around your ankles?
I imagine I would know immediately since I was expecting something bad to happen.
Mina yells out, ow!
Clearly over her embarrassment from earlier.
Well, hey, the attention's not on me anymore.
I will look down at my pants, look at the student, and then just mime drawing a little symbol in the air at him.
What's that symbol?
It looks like a boomerang. It kind of burns red, like it's made of fire and floating in the air.
And what does this symbol do?
Well, it burns. As Soren just kind of debates looking at it, looking at the student.
So he kind of waves his fingers back at you. Pull your pants back down.
Interesting that somebody would pants the guy who set the library on fire.
And then they wonder how come I call them peasants. I say it to quietly to myself.
This is the one class you actually have your sword with you.
Oh, that's not good.
And it's talking to you. Now, I don't think there's ever been a point in Soren's life where he's actually been singled out for ridicule like this. He never really attended public school.
I know, if someone pulled that stunt with me, they would live to regret it.
I think you're going to have to show a severe strength of will to not do something terribly violent like you want to.
He'll throw the rune at him.
Break it down for me.
It's basically a rune of fire. He normally would use it to light things on fire.
This is how he burned down the library.
Yes, this is how he set the library on fire. It was the first rune he ever learned to use. He will, however, control himself well enough not to throw it at the kid's chest, but to throw it at his shoes to set his shoes on fire.
He tries to jump back, and like one of his feet catches on fire, and he like stomps on his own foot. He's like, and then Moondog's like, all right, this is why we have this class. Now I want you two boys come over here. Now, you two, just take a seat.
Now, kiss.
No, they don't have to kiss.
I think that would get a chuckle out of Ariana.
He says, everything's all right, but if you want to start mischief, why don't I put you two together?
I don't recall wanting to start mischief.
He wasn't addressing either one of you directly when he said that.
Okay.
But he did put you in striking distance of the kid who just passed you twice. It doesn't seem like it's much of a threat to you.
I will casually caress the golden hilt, golden pommel of my sword with my left hand, trying to keep it calm, though it may not look like that to anyone else.
Well, while you're stroking your pommel, the sword is telling you what it wants to do. And it's very calm in how it tells you. It said it'd be so easy. With a single stroke, you can draw me and remove his head. So Moondog kind of goes back into what he was saying. He says, I want everybody just to close their eyes, try to clear their heads. Right? He stands next to the two of you, and you can definitely smell the dogs on his shovel. Whatever anger you have, just let it go. Nothing's that important.
Oh.
He's actually, while he's standing next to Soren and this other kid, he's saying this to the whole group. After about 5 minutes or so, he says, you know, he has everyone just lift up their hands. And he kind of walks people through, like, the simplest of yoga, which sounds very odd with his accent. He's all right.
Well, everybody has an accent to Ariana.
Now you kids get on to class. Ariana, Mina, and Soren are heading to Advanced English. Steve actually has an hour free. So what are you doing during this hour?
He will probably do what he always does, go running. Run around the building instead of running inside the track because it's kind of confining.
There's a larger track that runs the perimeter of the plateau.
Perfect.
That's not so much a track as it is a trail. People have walked it for years, but it'll take you around the campus.
Okay, that's fine. Admire the view, solitude.
Ariana, Mina, and Soren are showing up for their first class together. There is maybe 4 other students in the class, 7 of you total. The instructor is Professor White. She is a tall, silver-haired woman who seems very athletic. She wears a plain white suit, and she has a jacket hung over her chair. What does the rest of the room look like?
How many kids? 7 kids?
7 kids. But I'll point out that every room that you've been in looks like it's built for an entire school, not 60 kids.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say that it was like an auditorium, like, you know, lecture halls?
Uh-huh.
With a, like, incline of seats?
Stadium seating.
There you go. That one.
I imagine the teacher requires us all to sit down near the front since there's, you know, only 7 of us.
Yeah, no need to project your voice that far.
She does not say a word about where you need to sit. In fact, after everyone's there, she looks at the class that's gathered, then starts writing names on the board.
Like our names?
Like author names. Oh, and
Ariana starts writing.
She doesn't list any books, just the names of authors.
To one up Ariana and all of her douchiness. I'm going to pull out my laptop and set the webcam to record.
You have a laptop?
We'll say I have a laptop.
Do you have any money?
Well, it's actually a cardboard box that I painted, but... take a recorder? Is that better? Recorder? You can get those for cheap.
Probably with a cell phone camera.
No, like an audio recorder.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure.
Is that better?
Yeah, like one of the old style tape recorders?
I can't one-up Ariana. I just can't have this one thing.
The rich girl, though.
No. No, yeah, I'll pull out my tape recorder. And I guess wait for her to start talking to record since it's not video.
So once she's done filling up this blackboard, she turns around and she says, everyone, pick an author. Our next class is on Friday. I expect you to have read at least 3 books from them and be able to present an explanation of their writing style and the scope of their works.
Any chance any of those authors is Shakespeare?
Yep, there's Shakespeare there.
Oh. That's what Soren will pick.
And she then adds, no doubling up. You decide amongst yourselves who takes what.
These are classic. It would be classic authors only.
Well, there are some more contemporary authors, like Frank Herbert's there, or Hemingway.
I was just thinking how much I hate Hemingway.
How about modern stuff like Stephen King?
Sure, Stephen King's there. There's one there that says, writes, comma, and, parentheses, no rambling. Who is going to be the first person to say which author they want?
Well, Soren immediately wants Shakespeare.
But does Soren immediately say he wants Shakespeare?
Sure, if there's no doubling up.
Because she walks out if no one asks her any questions.
No, that was a quick class.
Well, I don't know these American authors.
Well, there is a library.
Who's this Mr. Gaiman?
Neil Gaiman?
Yes. Who is this Neil Gaiman?
Well, to begin with, he's not an American author.
I'm not familiar with this author.
Well, I suggest you pick him because he writes good stuff.
Is that the Count of Monte Cristo?
Yeah.
Dumas?
Dumas, yeah.
There is that you. Who you're looking for?
I was like, I'm looking for American authors.
Alexander Dumas? If you want to go with his three best known, Count of Monte Cristo. Did I say Crisco? You pick his three best. Count of Monte Cristo. I did it again.
It's not just American authors. There's authors from
Cristo.
All sorts of time periods.
Oh, okay. Well, then I choose Alexander Dumas.
Actually, I'm trying to see if I could find some non-comic book stuff for Neil Gaiman.
He is, though.
How about American Gods, the Graveyard Book?
Neverwhere.
Stardust.
Gaiman fans. Yes, yes, yes. All right,
I've read just about everything he's ever written.
I am on my way. I like him. In his foxy wife.
All right, I will try this Gaiman a try.
next to Gaiman, it says Sandman. Okay, no other comics.
Hold on, comic books,
graphic novels. Duh.
So when you claim him, there is another student who speaks up. This kid is sitting like way in the back. He's like, hey, I want him.
Oh my!
No one else is any good. You turn and. He's got on like a black shirt with like a white undershirt and a black shirt underneath that that goes down to his palms.
He's one of them.
He looks one of those goth people that I've heard of.
He's got a choker on and like three necklaces.
You look of death.
The time of my life.
So why should I surrender my choice to you?
Because I had already picked it, but you talk fast.
Really?
Yeah, obviously there's anybody else there worth reading. No, I'm going to pick.
Hang on, I'm thinking for a moment here because I'm like, Ariana's not one for stepping down once she's chosen a path. So, like, if you wanted the person, you should have said so earlier.
I didn't get a chance. I didn't get a chance.
Well, it doesn't make a difference to Ariana, but I think it's more out of principle. If you really want it, what will you do to take it?
He looks at you. He has this kind of white aura that begins to like grow around his arms. He's like, I don't know what you're saying. I just want that author.
Can I interrupt you two?
Certainly. Soren.
Just play Rochambeau for it.
What's this?
Rock, paper, scissors. Best 2 out of 3 gets game and the other one picks something new.
I suppose that's one way of settling this matter.
Go Rochambeau, and you tell me who wins.
I'll let him win. Not worth the effort.
All right, cool. And he sits down, and he kind of like flips his hair over his face and like leans into what he was writing.
It is so not worth the effort.
We have Alexander Dumas. And so who do you end up picking after you lose your first choice?
This is... American named Bradbury?
So after you have picked your books, what do you guys do? Or picked your authors, rather. The teacher's left. She bailed on you guys.
Well, I guess I go to the library.
Me as well.
Are you saying we're going to do our assignments together?
Yeah, she'll go to the library and start reading up.
And what about Soren?
Well, I guess he's got some time to kill before applied science. It's not enough time to really get much done. Well, it's an empty classroom, so he'll just take some time and meditate.
So let's jump back to Steve on your left.
All right. I think if someone's sprinting.
right past you, and he gets crazy close to you. Now, I just want to point this out. You are on a big open field.
Okay, but there is still space between me and the edge, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He just gets uncomfortably close to you.
Did I get a chance to see his face before he zip past me?
Make a perception roll. It's your sense plus perception.
Okay, sense is 7, perception. I'm not seeing perception. That's the problem.
So it's just your sense and 2 dice.
Oh. Well, that sucks.
Yep, so 7 plus 2 dice.
So that would be 13.
No, you miss his face. But after he sprints past you, he bursts into, looks almost like a bolt of flame, maybe 50 feet in front of you, and just shoots around the edge of the plateau.
Okay. I try to guesstimate how long for he comes back around and get off the track so he can go right by.
So you're trying to do your thing, you're trying to run, and you can actually hear it coming behind you. Like,
like I said, I move out the way.
And again, he just moves past you uncomfortably close. And you, like, hit the ground to avoid him.
Is he flying, or is he still running? He's flying. Okay.
He is literally on fire and flying.
Yeah. No, I don't want to do that. I'll just let him go. I'm not gonna mess with him. As much as I want to trip him up, actually, if he comes around again, I will try to touch him just to see how it feels to have that kind of speed.
Give me a attack roll to try and touch him as he flies past you.
So 24 plus 3 dice. Ooh. 36.
So you manage to, like, slap his arm as he shoots past you. Just a moment. Slap his arm, and as soon as you do, your fingers, like, burst into flame.
Oh, so that's not a special effect. That's actual fire.
Yeah.
Okay. Note to self, be careful when you do that. So I try to run around with this extra speed I picked up.
You are now able to keep up with him. Like, he keeps, like, circling past you. Like, hey, what are you? Some kind of copycat? Can't you do your own thing?
I was, so you almost ran me off the cliff.
Whatever, they told me about you. And he tries to, like, push his speed faster.
Okay.
If you want to keep up with him, you're going to have to spend the willpower.
Nope, that's okay. I just got under his skin. That's all I needed to do. Since I'm stuck in this form for an hour, I look to see what he looks like in the mirror, so I know who to avoid when I run through the classroom.
All right, so you shoot back to your dorm room. Doesn't take you very long to get there right now.
No, I would think not.
And you tell me, what does this kid look like?
Classic, he's got red hair, I'd say green eyes, freckles. Not extremely attractive. Girls kind of think he's kind of cute, but that's about as far as it goes. Yeah, that's about it. I can't really think of anything else for him. Obviously, athletic build, because he's burning off energy at a tremendous rate. Actually, that's the point. Would I pick up his metabolism, too?
His physical characteristics. So, like, you're sharing his body right now.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. If like, I assume that he has to keep eating to build up power for that flaming speed he has, then he's probably going to be eating a lot.
Yeah, you sure are hungry.
Yeah, that's what I figured. And is the cafeteria open around the club?
Yeah, because the schedules work, the cafeteria is always open.
Okay, cool. Actually, you can't take a selfie yet. They don't have those type of cameras yet, do they?
What, cell phone cameras?
Yeah, the one with the front-facing cameras.
It's 2010.
Yeah. But they've got a mirror. It's no big deal. Let's take a picture through the mirror.
You're like, I need to go get something to eat. But first, let me take a selfie.
Pretty much.
Who knew? Steve, a man ahead of the times.
All right, well, he gets his picture and goes to the cafeteria and loads up on basically anything he gets his hands on. And this is a guy? Okay.
This is a guy. Jan.
Oh, Jan. I read it Jan. It's like, that's not a guy's name.
Sure it is. It's actually a very common guy's name. So you get something to eat while Soren relaxes in the English room. And then the two of you are both off to applied sciences.
Okay.
Oh, joy.
Steve, why don't you tell me what this classroom looks like?
Applied sciences?
Uh-huh.
Honestly, I have no clue what would be in applied sciences. Only thing I'm thinking is like almost like a class lab type deal, whereas there's a if it's like a chemistry class or something like that, there'd be a table in the front for a teacher to do stuff in a workshop. Stations for equipment and then like a desk where the desk probably had like pairs, so you're working with a partner.
And it's got the thing in the center where you have jacks for electronics, and there's a nozzle there.
Right, okay.
Which, if you turn it on, you don't smell anything, but you hear something coming out of it.
I thought schools would definitely have that additive, because you know students are going to do something stupid.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah. So it smells like rotten eggs.
Yeah, okie dokie. Turn that off.
So how many people are in this class?
Let's say 6 or 8. I can't figure out which one.
So 7 it is.
Okay, 7, fine.
So maybe 10 minutes after class is supposed to start, an older man in a Marine dress uniform walks in.
Oh, wonderful.
And he says, "All right, listen up. Your teacher, Dr. Aldridge, can't be here today. Until she comes back, I am your teacher. My name is Gunnery Sergeant Masterson. You can call me Sergeant Masterson. Now, I understand this school makes you feel special. I am here to tell you, you are not special."
In his head, he says, "Oh, thanks for the ego boost."
"Now, this is applied science. As you can tell, I am a master of chemistry, and I will now show you how to apply science."
I don't like where this is going.
He then instructs everybody to get a sheet of metal and how to affix that to the top of the gas burner and set up the burner. He says, "Very good. That only took you 4 times as long as a competent human being.
Wow.
Now, you will find out what it is like to apply heat to flesh. One of you will make me a steak that is edible."
A steak that's edible.
He walks past the 4 occupied desks. "Partner up and figure out how to cook this steak properly. I will be grading you by my taste buds."
Who the fuck invited Army Hammer into here?
I don't know, but we really needed to have this after home ec.
How does this go down for you guys? Are you two paired together, or are you paired with other students?
The only that it's Soren, right?
Yep.
Okay, Soren. He'd recognize the tracksuit, but he wouldn't recognize the person in the tracksuit. He still looks like the fireball from
Actually, at this point, at some point, you would change from looking like Fireball to looking like yourself again.
Oh, okay, cool.
Like, about the point he says, "It only took you 4 times as long as a normal human being," is when you go back to looking like yourself.
Oh, good.
I thought that was you. Yeah. I never realized how difficult it would be to talk to a polyform.
Yeah, it's quite fun being one at times.
"Are you discussing the best way to cook my steak?"
The idea crossed our minds, yes.
If you want to be technical, the best way to cook your steak isn't to use science.
"Are you to tell me that fire is not science?"
"Well, not the fire I use."
"Okay, steak. Where are the steaks? So I know what cut we're working with."
This is like what the cafeteria must have been throwing out.
This does not bode well.
Let's see. Cheat, not to cheat, use magic to cheat, don't use magic to cheat. Drill Sergeant Asshole is not worth me using my magic.
Okay. We're cooking on just a sheet of metal.
A hot plate.
Yeah, okay. This is going to be very interesting.
No seasoning, anything like that.
Huh?
You don't need seasoning for steak, you just need salt and pepper.
No salt, no pepper. He's just like, "Here's meat, that's hot. Figure out how cooking works."
All right.
Okay, I'm assuming that our workbenches have a drain in them, or else this is going to get really messy really fast.
Yeah.
We lit them up, drop the steak on, let's see how it goes. We do have tongs to flip this over, right?
Do you ask him that? Because he didn't give you anything. You are in a workshop, though.
Yeah, screw it. I'm sure you won't mind if I just use my pocket knife. A little lint will add flavor, right?
I truly hope the rest of the school semester isn't like this.
No, actually, this is the... I imagine this will be the most cohesive the teacher will be all year. The rest of the time, you'll be spending most of your time just trying to parse out what she's saying.
Once you meet the actual teacher for this class?
Yeah.
This is starting to scare me.
So, Soren, you notice that one of the students didn't actually hook up Ferner. Instead, she's just kind of holding her hand over the stake.
Basically doing what I thought about doing.
She's basically like, her hand is blasting with fire.
Yes, and if she thinks Drill Sergeant over there is not going to notice that, she's an idiot.
Actually, Sergeant Masterson doesn't say anything to her.
He's still not worth me using my magic. Screw him. He gets the lint stake. We'll use conventional methods to try and cook it up as best we can.
One of you guys want to make a wisdom roll? Or domestic if you have the talent.
I have wisdom, but not domestic. I'm going to guess my wisdom's probably higher.
If you beat a 7, it is.
Yeah. So I got an 18.
At the end of the class, or towards the end of the class, he actually has everyone bring their steaks up. He starts eating them. He tells one pair, he's like, were you afraid to cook this meat? Are you sure that you want to know how science works in the real world? I will be sure to tell your teacher that you are scared of fire.
Okay.
The woman who cooked the steak with her hand comes up. He says, now I see you use an interesting method to cook this steak. I also see that it is now shoe leather. I would not do anything. You have failed. Steve and Soren, you guys come up. I see you have stabbed your steak. I applaud this. He takes a bite from where the puncture wound is. You have even found a seasoning that I find acceptable.
Wow.
Wow. Soren will actually laugh at that.
Yeah, I think Steve would have joined in on that one.
Did I make a joke? Sit down or I will fail you both.
Yes, sir.
It's the funny thing that's happened since I got into the school.
And you didn't want to sign up.
And you've got an entire year of him ahead of you.
Wait, we're going to stick with him for a whole year? Oh, man.
He's your technical math teacher. He will be teaching you valuable life skills, like how to balance a checkbook.
I'm sure somewhere along the way he'll give us a rambling story about how if you have 9 rounds in your gun and you fire off 3 rounds, how many more rounds do you have?
No. He will say, you have 9 rounds in your gun. You discharge your gun 3 times. How many enemies are still standing?
Lesser.
Question. None.
The answer is none, because you missed no shots. If there were other enemies, you would have discharged additional rounds as necessary.
Oh, this is going to be so much fun.
So while Steve and Soren are in applied science, what is Ariana doing? She has until 11 o'clock. And what's Mina doing at the same time? Because
wasn't I in the library working on my project?
Oh, so you're going
to... Actually, according to Tuesday, I have free class. I have free until 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, yeah.
So I'm in the library all that time.
Okay.
Except when I go to eat lunch.
I'm doing much of the same.
So at 11 o'clock, Mina and Steve go to Metahuman History and Theory.
Woohoo!
Mina, why don't you tell me what this classroom looks like?
I suppose just a standard classroom. With desks and perhaps a podium for the professor to stand in front of and some sort of... It's 2015, so I don't really know if they use projectors anymore.
2010, but yeah.
It's 2010. I don't know if they use projectors anymore in schools, and this is a really nice school, so I don't know. Laserdisc?
It's got the thing where you like plug your laptop up to it and then like a screen comes down.
Oh yeah, I guess I have seen those in school.
Yeah.
That thing. They still kick it old Scott style and use the red laser pointers or green or whatever.
Actually, so there's all this different equipment for like audiovisual displays. The teacher comes in. This is a woman. It's kind of hard to distinguish her age. She might be somewhere in her 30s. It's really hard to tell.
Okay.
If you would describe her, you would call her a classic beauty. When I say classic beauty, I mean that she looks like she could be a starlet of the golden age of cinema.
Cool.
Okay, that is something to look forward to.
Yeah. She wears a simple dress. In fact, it looks like she dresses from the 1930s or 1940s. Hair in a perfect perm. And she uses none of that modern equipment.
Okay, so so all that stuff I described, you just kind of look the other way?
Well, it's all there. She just doesn't use it.
Okay, I guess instead of the laser pointer, she has
the wand. Stick of chalk on a stick. So this is actually a pretty popular class, right? This has got one of the largest classes.
Because of the teacher.
And you imagine metahuman history being a thing people be interested in.
She kind of lays things out. She says, each month we'll talk about a different period in history. For the first semester, we will focus on World War II, or as some people call it, the dawn of metahumans. This is a lecture class. After each class, we do expect a 5-page paper based on your thoughts and understanding of the period. We will be expected to do research outside of class.
Muttering to himself, a 5-page paper? Yeah.
That's nothing. Most schools let you double space, too. Knock that out in no time.
Well, she wants one of those for each class, and 2 classes a week.
That's not terrible. It's a possibility.
He hasn't been in school for a couple of years. He's kind of out of practice.
On top of that, so many papers. How much of your grade is that? I bet you could probably miss a few and be fine.
Yeah, if you miss one, you lose half a grade.
Fuck. One of these classes.
She's very pleasant when she says it, though.
See, the classic beauty lures them in, and then they're trapped.
And she does not grade on a curve.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Does anything weird happen during this class?
Weird? I don't think so.
Nope, just a lot of class groaning over the, if you miss one, you lose half a, what you call it?
Half a grade. Half a letter grade.
I could probably take a B.
No one has any classes from 12 to 1. Do you guys meet for lunch, or do you do your separate things?
But were we not given an assignment or anything in that class?
No, she just goes over the syllabus. Like, she's very structured about what she's doing.
What's her power? Or does it? I guess doesn't matter at the moment.
She doesn't demonstrate any kind of supernatural abilities.
Okay.
Or metahuman abilities. Like, the sergeant didn't demonstrate any abilities also.
Super.
Nor did Professor White.
His super dick abilities.
His ability to be a drill sergeant.
Well, I was thinking to have Ariana stop by her room just to grab her coffee for lunch.
Okay.
Oh, I was gonna say we'll say that I happen to be there and ask you if you want to have a lunch, buddy, and then maybe sneak a sip of your coffee.
I suppose. Do you know do you know how to keep quiet while I'm reading?
Are you still working on that assignment? Oh, I finished that hours ago.
Fine. And you can have some of my coffee, too.
Somebody forgot the PSA.
So what happens to your snakes when you drink? Or first, are you having lunch in the cafeteria when this goes down?
Well, aren't we on our way to the cafeteria?
Yes.
So I guess we're drinking coffee and on our way to the cafeteria. And I'm just having a little bit. And I guess my snakes just get very, very wild and snippy and hissy.
And I'm going to go ahead and make a point of getting some instant decaf coffee for her. When I get a chance.
Not the family brand. Just some instant cheap crap.
Oh, she won't be able to tell the difference.
What about Steven Sword? Do you go to sit with Ariana and Mina?
Oh, actually, you know what? I'll save them the trouble. Ariana, when she sees Steve, says, Steve, please, come over. Please. With the pleading eyes.
Save me! The snakes are doing a conga line in the hood. Since Soren's actually has no classes after basically 10 o'clock, I was just noticing. He would have spent 2 hours in the library, much to the librarian's dismay, reading up on Shakespeare. And then he'll make his way to the lunchroom.
Yeah, if she does wave them over, then he'd go over.
There were probably some other people at the table, because it's one of those larger tables. When Steve shows up, people leave.
Well, gee, if I know this easy. Hey, I'll come to the cafeteria all the time. Everybody runs away from me. All
right, so what are they serving in the cafeteria? We know they throw away some steaks.
Salad. I kind of pictured Ariana having a regular garden salad and something like that. Something that well, she's too what's the word I'm looking for? Well, let's just put it like that. She's too shallow about her look, so she would try to make sure she tried to keep herself thin. Well, relatively thin. I'd offer you coffee, but I don't have enough for you. Sorry.
Don't worry about it. I'm not exactly fond of coffee. I'll drink it, but I'm not fond of it.
This just means you had the wrong coffee.
Lots of different kinds. No, all of them stink.
What?
I think in the case of Steve, you might have the wrong taste buds.
This is also a possibility, because he was pretending to be adult at time. But yeah, he probably have a salad with chicken or steak on top of it.
Soren will scrounge together whatever is fairly healthy. He was too heavily ingrained to keep his body healthy so that he can continue training.
So you're eating like a chicken breast and salad?
Pretty much, yeah.
With no dressing?
Nope, and just water for the drink.
Not a protein shake?
Well, no, he'd have to make that on his own. He couldn't get the get them to make that.
Ariane only knows how to make coffee. She doesn't know how to do that other stuff yet. No, unless it has microwave instructions.
So I want everybody to make a perception roll for me.
Okay.
35 and 2 sixes.
She doesn't have perception, so it says wisdom, right?
It's sense and 2 dice.
Sense and 2 dice.
Hey, a grand whopping 12.
15.
And Rina got a 30 with no sixes. So both of you hear or pick up a bit of a conversation as a couple of students walk past, and one kid says, "He's a freak amongst freaks." And another one's like, "Yeah, did you hear what he did to Thomas? That whole thing yesterday was him. Are they talking about Steve?"
And I'm very glad I don't hear this.
What was the first part?
"He's a freak amongst freaks."
Now that's pretty doggone freaky.
And they're whispering this.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? I'll snag a piece of broccoli off my plate and flick it at the head of one of the kids.
Yeah.
Who was whispering.
And I will probably too loudly declare, "That's not nice."
To the kid speaking or to Soren when he flicks the broccoli?
Yeah, to the kid speaking.
Broccoli is flicked. Whether you meant to or not, why don't you make a provoke roll?
Well, I don't have my sword, so that's just expression. Well, I rolled good. 16 with a 1-6.
And what's this guy look like?
You know what this school needs? The alpha jock.
But we don't have a sports team.
Sure you do. You've got a track team. You've got a international football team, a.k.a. soccer.
You know, real football.
Yeah, real football. Alpha jock in a school full of metahumans. He is 7'6".
Yeah, you know, he's got, like, the perfect blonde hair, the Revenge of... He's basically the guy from the first Revenge of the Nerds movie. Okay. Only bigger and buffer.
All right, yeah, so he's, like, still wearing, like, the blazer from his previous high school.
Wow.
What's this? Does the Freak King have a problem with his status? Three of his little buddies turn around.
And because I'm feeling geeked from the coffee, I stand up and poke him in the chest and say, "That's not nice!"
What's your intended result?
I don't know. Let's see where it goes.
Like, what would you like to see happen from you going, "That's not nice"?
I'd imagine he'd get really fucking mad and I'd start a fight.
Is that okay? Well, you don't need to roll anything because that's what's about to go down.
Standing up for my bro. And standing up for friends.
He's like, "What? You don't think I'm going to hit you because you're some little girl? You wouldn't be here if you were special, freak." So everybody roll initiative for me.
Oh, Lord. 10 plus 2
dice. Oh, since we have this up, since you're sitting next to me, we can just use this.
14, 3 dice. 22 for me.
Oh, God.
I got 16.
35. You know, I think when this fight is all over, I'll actually be happy I didn't have my sword. That way I don't have to worry about killing anyone. At the moment, though, he's quite angry that he doesn't have his sword.
Well, you gotta think about it from Ariana's point of view. Any little temper tantrum she has could kill somebody, so...
They have that in common, but only when he's wearing his sword.
Ariana will basically avoid the whole situation because she just feels she's above this peasantry.
Since the leader of the jock pack has just been poked in the chest several times, I think he is just going to headbutt Mina.
Objection! I'd like to use defensive action to throw a barrier up between him and Mina.
I wouldn't think I'd need it, because I've got snakes underneath my hoodie. I'd imagine that they might just, like, pop out of it if they recognize their snakes. They recognize movement. I'd imagine they recognize something headed towards them and block.
So that would not prevent Soren from trying to throw a barrier. And are you saying you want to take an active defense, or are you just saying that your snakes are going to protect you? An active defense means you devote an action to it.
I would say they would just protect me, but if I have to take a defense...
I think that's just your normal defenses, is your snakes are going to, like, lock down to block it.
Yeah, like it's air moving, they recognize it.
All right, so Soren, go ahead and roll your power and try to beat his attack roll.
Dead, he draws a symbol in the air. 25. Not my best roll.
These are going to go off at the exact same time. Soren tries to throw a barrier, and this jock is trying to headbutt you. I think what's going to happen is that the jock will get his headbutt in, and then the barrier will be in place and intact between you when he pulls back. Prevent him from attacking again. What is Mina's normal defense?
Is it my normal defense? 24? Three dice.
He comes in, and he, like, cracks you on the bridge of your nose as the snakes are dropping down, and he reels back. You're going to take 9 damage minus your armor.
Okay.
As this is happening, Soren draws the rune. What does that rune look like?
As he draws his finger through the air, the moisture in the air crystallizes into ice, and the rune then explodes into a wall of ice between Mina and him.
So he pulls back, and there's this barrier of ice.
My head hurts pretty bad.
So how messed up is Mina after being headbutted?
I'd say she's probably a little loopy from being smacked in the head really hard, or quite loopy. I don't know.
Like broken nose, or?
Or mildly fractured skull.
Partial fracture. Okay. So it's like welling up, like it's getting red there.
Oh, this is not good.
All right, now there's a barrier in place between her and the jock now.
We always got to choose the biggest one.
Steve, what are you doing?
Turn to Ariana.
Ariana is Archie's character.
Yeah, that's the one you copied before. Are you going to help her, or should I?
Well, here's the thing right now. By the fact that they went ahead and hit her, and by the fact that she's the senior person, she's obligated to go ahead and try to protect her now. I'll deal with them. Can I? Is that something I could actually do now, or?
Yeah, you take your action now.
I'm going to get up, I'm going to look to them, and basically I'm going to use my, I'm going to go ahead and try to intimidate them into giving this shit up. So basically, I'll go ahead and, yeah, like I'm going to use my intimidation, I'm going to go ahead and say, enough of this! Sit down, so help me, I will swat you in my hand, and you don't want to see that. And I will hold my action to see how he responds, because if I have to actually lift my hands up at them, then this is gonna be trouble. Now I'm just trying to figure out how you want to resolve this.
Well, make an intimidation roll.
Well, intimidation is part of expression, right?
All right, it's part of mental.
Mental, excuse me. All right, so that's 15 plus 3 dice. Let's do that. All right, 15 plus 15. That's 30 with 2 sixes.
Okay. And what's your intimidation at?
My intimidation is at 8.
So he is going to be at a -2 to any actions he takes against you or your allies for the next 2 turns. He's just like, he turns and he says, I'm disappointed. I thought you were better than this trash.
Oh. Oh.
Now I know you're just common filth too.
Oh! Oh, God! Oh, God! Oh, he just went ahead. I forgot how the drive acts to that. Am I that shallow?
So the drive works when you rise above your shallow nature.
Okay, so it doesn't apply that specifically in that case.
Someone would like to take the moment during the stunned silence to look around and go, I don't see him looking into any mirrors.
I'd like to perform my second action.
Okay.
I get the feeling it's going to be a punch.
No, actually, I would like to try to use my willpower and attempt to use my perfection to do the big slap of push everybody back by shockwave. Because I don't want to raise myself above the knee to hit them. Well, if I could put them in their place. I mean, I'm trying to learn to respect other people, but if they want me to really hit them, I'll do it if I have to. So I think like this is like an area effect I'm trying to achieve. I think that's like 2 willpower, I think.
You're just trying to knock him and all of his friends back?
Yeah. If I could knock him on the keister just so they understand when I mean business.
Yeah, it would be 2 willpower. And then you would use your regal fisticuffs.
Okay, so let me go ahead and deduct that, and I'll make my roll. Regal fisticuffs. 27 plus 4 dice. All right. I rolled a 10 plus 27. That's 37.
Okay.
I got 1 6.
Now, let me make sure I understand this. You clap your hands together, and it's like a shockwave?
Yeah, there's supposed to be a shockwave in front of her just to knock the asses, to knock them down.
And do you say something when you do this to them?
Peasant. Sit down like the dogs you are.
The friends go end over end across the cafeteria.
Oops.
The head jock gets knocked back like a good 15 feet. He like you clap your hands and he gets knocked back. He's like puts his arms up and he ends up down on like one knee. So what is Mina doing?
Well, she's already done the intimidation because I think it's time to pull the hood back.
I've been drinking green tea all goddamn day. I'm pumped.
Yeah, I definitely want to tag his ass back. Or
oh my.
Don't I have to spend the willpower to restrain him? Like, I don't actually want to have him, because I don't think that's who she is. He's not really a threat. Or hell, I'll hold him down so they can beat on him.
No, you don't have to spend any willpower. Mm-hmm. You just use your snakes and, like, wrap around his arms and legs and stuff.
Well, I say Mina pulls back her hood and is actually quite angry and, like, I don't know, she re-says what she said. Says, that is not nice! And, like, entangles him.
All right, so go ahead and make your attack roll.
Pick up.
24 plus 3 dice.
Okay. 36 and no sixes.
So describe what that looks like.
Well, since they're all geeked on coffee, they're all hissing and pissed off too and writhing all over the place. And like 4 of them shoot out and, like from various spots of my head and grab his wrist and his ankles and lift him and hold him in place while I'm, like, glaring at him and, like, scolding him. And then they can just do what they do. I can't stop them.
Steve, I don't think you've actually taken an action yet. Did you want to do something at this point?
Okay, so who's... Is he still in reach of Ariana?
You're sitting. She's standing now.
It's like, pardon me, taps her. It's like, you take care of the big guy. I'll handle the small fry. I'm going to walk over between them and the original and the other guy and say, you want to stay down.
Was that your Jedi mind trick there?
Yeah.
I mean, if they recognize her and say, okay, he's got her power now. This is not a good idea to screw with him.
Sauron will use his last held action to take a bite of his chicken and watch the show. Picks up his fork and just, ow. Well, it doesn't look like anyone needs him at the moment. You guys got this pretty well in hand, so he's just going to go back to eating. Dinner and a show.
When Steve takes on Ariana's appearance, you can hear someone in the crowd screaming, I told you he was a copycat!
Does he sound familiar?
No.
Oh, okay. Not the same jerk. Okay.
No Are problem. You sure it's not the same jerk?
Didn't recognize the voice, so.
We're fighting the jerks that said that.
No, this is somebody else in the crowd, like in the school cafeteria that sees this. And he was like, yeah. Says, he's just a copycat. He couldn't hack it on his own. He's got to cheat and use other people's powers.
Wow.
And this is still from the crowd, right?
Yeah. And so the jock's like, you're a freak! Let me go, you freaks!
Soren, from his seat at the table, will just shout out, does the giant 7-foot-tall freak all angry because the other freaks beat him up? You're in a school of freaks, retard! What's the point in calling somebody else a freak? Soren is still sitting down at the table, but he shuts it out before putting another
piece of chicken into his mouth.
No name calling.
As you say that, Professor White kind of pushes her way through the crowd. And when I say pushes, I mean she's like tapping people's shoulders and they're just moving.
Like of their own accord or of her power?
Yes. Soren Fjorgenstahl. That is unnecessary language.
If you're going to use my full name, say the first one right.
Everybody walk away from this.
Snake's level, he just falls.
I go back to eating my salad and reading my book.
Yeah, well,
my head
as long as the hangers-on disappear, I'll go back to eating myself.
I'm gonna go to the infirmatory.
Okay.
Wait, the only thing I would have to say, though, to Steve is this. Reflection, is that the name they've been calling you around here? At the very least, can you ask before you touch me?
I said excuse me.
I don't think you're a freak. No, excuse me, my head hurts.
I'll just look over at Steve and go, I say we're all freaks, so I don't see what the point is.
But I'll try in future to give you a larger warning.
That would be most appreciated.
Well, I say to Soren, saying we're all freaks, one of my snakes like whips out and snips at him as I'm leaving.
You go to the doctor. They will treat you. They also do not use any electronic equipment when they examine you.
Okay.
And in the nurse's office, you catch a glimpse of the girl came in on the van yesterday, who seemed like she was already over the school and too cool to be here, talking to a technician. But you can't really catch what they're saying because they're on the other side of a door. You just recognize her while the nurse checks you out.
Are they still on the other side of the door?
Yeah, no, they walk off. Just you see her talking to a technician. June, go ahead and heal too. So things calm down in the cafeteria, but people give Steve a wide berth.
Soren will sigh and just go, why is it that even when everybody's got freaky powers, do people still react weirdly to somebody else who has freaky powers? Why are human beings so fucking stupid?
Wish I could tell you, but I got no clue.
And as you say that, you realize it is time for your world history class.
World history? All right. Well, time to scare more peasants. Talk to you later.
It could be worse. Come on, Steve. Let's go.
Yeah, you share this class with Ariana.
Okay.
Ariana, what does this classroom look like?
Sorry.
World history, huh?
Actually, I take that back. This is the same room as the metahuman history and theory. It's also the same teacher.
Poor Steve, he's got her twice.
How long does he stay in the forms of
Ariana's room? Form for? I think he said an hour. And that's towards the end of that's towards the middle or end, so he's going to be stuck in Ariana's form for a while. People although I doubt he looks really weird with his clothes and my form.
Well, doesn't he wear a tracksuit so that like when he takes other people's shapes, it's not
traumatic to his clothing? Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that, but how tall are you anyway, Steve?
He's exactly as tall as you are.
No, I'm saying normally.
Normally he's about 5'7".
Yeah, so Ariana is a good 3 inches taller than him, so...
Dr. Solomon kind of gives you the same thing that she said for the medical history, except that she says that each semester will be focusing on a different culture throughout history that significantly influenced the modern age.
So are we only talking European, doctor, or are we talking about any of the other cultures like Japan or even Germany?
We'll be focusing on the ancient world cultures. Sumerian.
Byzantine.
She mentions ancient Egypt and China. Or specifically, she says pre-Romance China.
All right. Just taking those notes down the Trapper Keeper.
You have officially survived the first day of school and only managed to make a handful of enemies.
Hey, the way I see it, I tried to be nice.
Just keep in mind, if I had my sword, I'd have a lot less enemies right now.
Are you guys planning on meeting up after class?
I'm going back to the library to work on my assignment.
Okay.
Yeah, since you have 2 more books to get through. I have all 3. I see it. I see what you're referring to.
What's that?
My fault you don't know how to read assignments. No problem. What time is it now? Let's see. It's, 2 o'clock, time for my weekly ritual before I grab my shower. My daily ritual.
I thought that was later on in the day.
After school. I do it once, and then I go ahead and take a shower and do the rest of my stuff.
Oh, okay. So the people gather around to watch you jump off a cliff.
All right. Got my usual stuff with me, and I think I'll do it this time. I'm feeling good. I don't think so. Boom.
So you are sprinting towards what's your surprise defense?
My surprise defense is a 19.
As you are sprinting towards the cliff face, you get struck, like hit in the side with what feels like a rocket, and there's just this streak of fire.
Okay.
You turn, and you can just see this fireball shooting past you, and I think that's where we're going to end the session.
Oh, man.
Will my health still be at 10 for the next session?
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is some fighting words here. You're going to resolve the potential damage next session?
Yeah.
All right.
Questions, comments, concerns, thoughts?
Well, I think it's funny that Steve doesn't have to worry about touching people by accident. Everybody's running away from him. Cool.
I just want you to know that it actually took me till this session to realize who the too cool for school student was. I just realized it.
Okay.
She gets it.
I don't.
In a different life, you may have been on the same team.
Too cool for school. In the hospital, looking at electronics.
Yeah. Until you mentioned that she was someone that you recognized, I hadn't figured out either.
I didn't realize it until they had her in there looking at the machinery.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't realize it.
That's when it clicked for me.
I didn't want to be obvious about it in the first session.
I should have gotten it just from the too cool for school newly arrival.
And the signature leather jacket?
Yeah, that one definitely should have gotten me, but went right over my head. That she, you know, went out of her way to protect that stupid jacket.
So all I know is that someone has caught my ire, and they're going to pay.
Don't worry, if there's a fight now, Soren has his sword. So far, Soren is not impressed with the teacher's aptitude for dealing with out-of-control students.
Yeah, I would imagine you'd really have to be on top of a school that had people with powers.
And so far, they've done nothing.
You know what I see, though? I think they were watching the whole situation, and they waited until after the situation was close to resolving itself to get themselves involved.
But you had a student get her skull fractured. Like, parents are... Some of these students have parents that are entrusting them to watch their children. Like,
but you know what? Metahumans will be metahumans.
No!
Well, I can tell you one thing that may occur if this keeps up is Soren will stop relinquishing his sword when he goes to class if he continues to be attacked.
Yeah, like, this is very much like a...
No one's attacked Soren.
That was an urban...
Fine, if people continue attacking the people Soren associates with. Now, that is interesting. Out of everybody, Soren's the only one who hasn't actually really fought anyone.
Yeah. I didn't fight anybody. I just went in and slapped my hands together and said, get out of my face.
Right. You basically just kind of ended that fight.
And I didn't fight anybody. I just got hit and then restrained him.
Yeah, I wasn't looking to do damage. I was just trying to freaking put them in their place.
I was just trying to stand up for somebody who clearly didn't appreciate it.
Hey, I looked out for you.
No, not you.
See, now, the thing is, I'm the conversation I thought was about Steve, but then when Soren made a comment, it seemed like they were talking about him. So I kind of got confused there. It's like, okay.
So maybe we should recap that fight real quick. The first thing they did is he went ahead and what did the jocks do again? They went ahead and headbutted.
Well, they were walking past and talking to themselves, and basically they called somebody a freak amongst freaks and a copycat.
And, like, we all know who that is.
We all know the copycat.
And then Soren and Mina both kind of got in their faces about that, and Mina poked dude in the chest.
For the record, Soren never once actually stood up out of his seat.
Okay.
He just flicked broccoli at them and then cast a berry in front of Mina to try and protect her.
And I didn't think that my poke would have been considered so threatening because I'm like this small girl. Like, and I have no strength. My snakes have all the strength. So it would have been like rubbing a bunny rabbit. That's not nice.
That's something you should really consider.
What?
How absolutely aggressive he was. Because you're right. You're not strong, and he clearly was a tough guy.
And that headbutt fucked me up.
And then, we'll have to figure out why this fireball just hit Ariana in the next session.
That guy's a jerk.
Yeah. He's a very big jerk.
He was nice to you. That's the guy that helped you bring the bed into the room.
The guy who I said that's not nice to?
No, Fireball.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was talking about I didn't know we'd changed subjects.
Yeah, Jan was picking on Steve while everyone else was in class, and then just blindsided Ariana before she left off the cliff.
I do so hope that I'm near enough to blindside him back.
But he was like super nice to you when you first met him. Thank you guys for a good game, and we will be back.
No problem.
All right, see you then.
Good night.
For more,
I'll hang around if anybody wants to talk. All right, y'all have a good night then.
All right, see you guys. Talk to you later.
We hope you have enjoyed this presentation of the Three Rivers Academy. Our theme music is by Kevin MacLeod and is available online at incompetech.com.
No, they don't have to kiss.